Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Good morning, 7:09 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Now, all day I have been covering this hearing that was last week about the Trump assassination. Very, very interesting stuff. And stuff I had not heard before, stuff that I don't think most people in the public, I mean, if I haven't heard it, most people haven't heard it. I always kind of figure that. And especially because President Trump, former President Trump, is getting ready to go back to Butler tomorrow for the rally at the same exact location. Now, I don't normally do this, but sometimes something is so good that I don't want to just play the clips from it. I want to play it for you. And this is an example of that, okay? Representative Eli Crane I'm gonna let him speak. He gave a seven-minute, almost eight-minute presentation, and I'm going to play it, just interrupting for traffic and whatnot. But I just want you to hear from him, his assessment of the site at Butler as a former sniper and SEAL member.
Those of you who don't know, I served in the U.S. Navy from 2001 to 2014, had the opportunity to deploy to Iraq multiple times with SEAL Team 3. One of my qualifications was as a sniper. We are highly trained in various aspects of military operation, weaponry, technology, tactics, and all sorts of mission sets to include executive protection. With that background, it's evident to me that many basic security measures were completely dropped. That being said, you do not have to have a background in special operations to recognize the incompetence and security failures that led to the catastrophic vulnerabilities surrounding President Trump and the crowd that day. I hear from Americans every day in complete disbelief in the wake of two assassination attempts in 2.5 months that cannot believe how ineffective our Secret Service has become. There's simply no excuse. I'm glad I can testify today to share some insight into the operational failures of that fateful day. Rep. Mills and I visited Butler, Pennsylvania rally site immediately following the assassination attempt to investigate. I've also visited the site with Homeland Security Chairman Mark Green and my colleagues on the committee. Some of the main challenges facing Secret Service were completely avoidable. For example, we investigated the second floor window. Secret Service agents and local law enforcement had access to overlooking the roof from where the shooter engaged the former president. I was able to confirm that had anyone stationed in the second story at AGR building come off of their weapon system, moved to the window, and looked out the window during their search to reacquire Thomas Crooks, they would have seen him within 30 to 40 yards of that position. He would have easily been spotted lying on that roof with no camouflage and his rifle. We were able to confirm that former Secret Service Director Cheadle was lying to Congress when she gave us the excuse that the roof was too slanted, too dangerous for Secret Service snipers to take up counter-sniper positions. But as myself and others who went up on that roof, it was not steep at all. Ironically, the positions that Secret Service counter-snipers posted themselves upon were actually far steeper than that roof at the AGR building. Furthermore, Secret Service did not have any of its counter-snipers on a nearby water tower, the tallest structure at the farm show grounds. I knew immediately upon setting foot at that site, and Mr. Chairman, you were there as well, that that's exactly where I would have placed myself as a counter-sniper because of its commanding view over the entire property. Not only would any counter-sniper have been able to easily engage Thomas Crooks from that position that he attempted to assassinate former President Trump, but it is very likely that Thomas Crooks might have decided to abort his mission and go home had we had counter-snipers on that water tower. The thing that we need to understand about security is how important deterrence is. Had Thomas Crooks visually spotted or located counter-snipers with the use of his drone that day, it is very likely that he would recognize that he would have been deterred long before ever getting into that position capable of having a direct line of sight to the podium and to President Trump, and would have possibly aborted his mission. Rep. Mills and I also ranged several other buildings and windows that were well within range for anyone with the desire to assassinate the former president. Upon our investigation that day, we were in, We were informed that nobody was posted on nor had conducted any advance work amongst these very choice and accessible firing positions. Rep. Mills and I both concluded within minutes of observation from the same exact positions used by Secret Service counter-snipers that this was a horrible venue for a rally, and Secret Service should have done everything possible to dissuade the campaign from hosting it there. To date, we have seen no evidence that Secret Service tried to dissuade the campaign from using the site due to the alarming threat profiles surrounding the site. Though I appreciate the former president's courage and strong desire to rally his supporters, I strongly suggest that he and his campaign avoid this site on October 5th and in the future, which leads me to my most concerning assessment now of both assassination attempts on the former president. I cannot be more clear. To this point, we have been extremely lucky. Whether either of these individuals were working in coordination with other groups, organizations, or nation states who desired to kill the former president, none of the individuals attempting to kill the president have been professionals.
I'm going to pause right there. We're going to come back and let him finish in just a second. John Pickens got traffic on the fives. John?
Brought to you by Knox Pest Control, their family serving your family since 1929. For information on a free pest or termite quote, you can visit KnoxPest.com. Knox knocks them out. Got a tip that there's a car off the road in the woods on Highway 29 just north of Cantonment across from the Commerce Industrial Complex. And northbound traffic is backing up, so just be aware of that. Also, we're still dealing with the one over in Navarre at Orion Parker Boulevard and Navarre Parkway, but no roadblock, but I'm starting to see a little bit of delay there. Other than that, traffic looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. If you're thinking about a career change, you want to take some personal enrichment courses, you want to get a degree, something other than going to university, or you want to do dual enrollment, Pensacola State College is a great resource for you. Our personal use of PSC, aside from, we've been there for arts performances and athletic events and use the tennis courts. And there's all kinds of other stuff about PSC that's amazing for the serving the community, hosting activities and whatever. But my kids have gone there as students. In fact, they did dual enrollment as high school students where you're in high school and in college at the same time. You get high school credit and you get college credits you can take with you to the university. Like they both went to, University of West Florida, and they've got about a year and a half's worth of college credit under their belt because of dual enrollment for free, no cost, not for books or anything. And my third is in right now because it's, student oriented. It's very customer service oriented, a variety of class sections and teachers. And just like we love PSC. It has been great for our family. Campuses in Pensacola, Warrenton, Milton Century, South Santa Rosa Center, Downtown Pensacola, and Santa Rosa Industrial Park East. Find out what PSC can do to help you reach your future goals at pensacolastate.edu. Returning now to Arizona Representative Eli Crane, a former SEAL Team 3 trained as a sniper, talking about the assassination attempts against President Trump, emphasizing that we've been lucky so far because they have not been professionals.
I can tell you that with authority by the weaponry and the gear they used, as well as the fact that Thomas Crooks took a headshot. I can tell you from experience that most snipers are trained to take center mass torso shots, if possible, for the very exact reason that we saw him miss a headshot on July 13th. I can also tell by examining Ryan Ruth's final firing position on the fence line of the golf course that he too was not a professional. No trained sniper, no trained assassin would have set up their final firing position the way he did. We are trained to make absolute sure that nothing on our person or in the vicinity of where we are located and going to take our final shots, that anything stands out from the environment we are in. You could see those large bags holding ballistic plates on the fence, which would easily catch the eye of any trained security agent. He also stuck his barrel through the fence instead of cutting what we call a loophole in it so that he could stay back in the shadows, allowing his concealment. I want to reiterate, to date, these individuals that have tried to assassinate former President Trump are not professionals. What is going to happen, Mr. Chairman, when the president of Iran, China, Russia, or any other country or group who does not want to see President Trump come back into office, send professionals? What is going to happen next time if there is a 10-man Hezbollah team, snipers, assaulters, and drone operators launching coordinated and overlapping assassination attempt on the president? I think we can all see by now that their likelihood of success would be tremendous. My suggestion to the former president and to his campaign is that he beef up his private security detail of individuals who are loyal to him and not burdened by the bureaucracy and culture of an organization that many of us used to hold in very high esteem. The reason for this is so they can plug holes that Secret Service continues to leave and make sure they are not putting him in vulnerable situations. It is important that these investigations and oversight continue to make sure that in the coming days, weeks, and months, and even years, that this is no longer a regular occurrence and not even a possibility. I want to challenge this task force to continue doing the great work that they are doing here today. And I also want to challenge them to have enough courage to think outside the box, challenge the mainstream narratives, and be willing to investigate every theory, regardless of how conspiratorial others might claim them to be. There is a concern from the American people that this task force will be like most investigations in Washington, D.C. that lead to zero accountability and transparency, and simply call for money for an organization that desperately needs reforms at its core. I'd like to again thank the chairman and my colleagues on this task force who are doing great work, and the witnesses giving their time and knowledge to help uncover the truth and bring all facts to light.
Like, we're learning that a local law enforcement shot him first, or shot at him first, and most likely shot him first. Like the fact that he had a multi-channel detonator, not the kind of thing you just go buy online for funsies. Sophisticated explosives that crooks had. That throwing money at the problem is not going to solve it. Just giving the Secret Service more budget is not going to solve the basic problem of their entire structure and culture, which is wrong. That resources should be allocated to protectees on the basis of the threats against them, not on the basis of their title. You know, Trump getting, what was it? I think it was three, might have been four agents the same day that Jill Biden got 12 when there are known international threats against Trump's life. I mean, on and on and on. And again, this advice not to go back to Butler to that location, go inside somewhere. Too much difficulty securing it. And even on that day, and I'm going to play one more. I want to share all of this with you because it was so revolutionary to me. But, you know, talking about modern warfare and drone attacks, no defense. They have no way to stop it. They couldn't get their own drone up in the air that day. And they're protecting the president in a modern environment. And this is the last thing. This is from Representative Corey Mills, who was also one of the two. And he's got some background in this, you know, military background. He's not a sniper or whatever. But this is... this was super chilling to me to think about, like how much worse it could have been if it hadn't been an amateur climbing up on a rooftop. Because there was this unsecured chain link fence line closer than he was, attached to the AGR building, that was outside the perimeter that anybody could go up to, that they never got magnetometered, they never got screened.
When we talk about the fact that not even the risk of an actual trained sniper or someone who has an understanding of long-range distance shooting, but an actual assault team who could have very easily, that fence line that you're pointing at for the AGR building is approximately 100 yards direct line of sight to the stage with no blockage in either the visual or any additional security with an actual screening or anything like that. So you could have had a guy walk up, or a team of individuals with a bag, with an assault rifle or other capabilities, who could have easily have come to that line. And Eli and I have discussed this with also Eric Prince. They could have basically done a 5-man, 7-man, 10-man line right there to have opened fire with assault weapons and created a kill box right there on top of that stage. And you're talking 100 yards. That's what most people utilize as their original dope, which is their original zero for their rifles. So very capable for almost any rifle. And you actually have some special operations teams who do very well with a pistol at even 100.
We've been so lucky. So lucky they're amateurs. So lucky with the turning of the head. I mean, and it's worse now because everybody knows the Secret Service can't do the job. So anybody who wants to try is emboldened. 723 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
If you're struggling with ED or your performance is down and your belly fat is growing, listen up. You've got one life. Now is the time to act.
At Wave Men's Health, we're not just healthcare. We're your secret weapon. Don't wait another day. Here's why you need to act right now.
Every moment you delay, your condition could worsen. It's not just about sex. It's about your heart, your relationship, your life.
Wave Men's Health has years of proven results for low testosterone and increasing drive, energy level, and performance. We've introduced ED and enhancement treatments so exclusive, you'll wonder why you waited.
Procrastination is the thief of time. When it comes to your sexual health, you can't afford to wait. Join the league of gentlemen who've walked out of our doors with a swagger.
Call Wave Men's Health at 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. Book your $99 male performance consultation now, including blood work. Call 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. Wave Men's Health, making it happen.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
What is the one thing God will not forgive? After all, the Bible plainly explains that if we seek God's forgiveness, He will forgive sins such as lust, lying, and even murder. But the one sin that God will not forgive is the sin of unbelief. To refuse to believe in Jesus' virgin birth, or His sinless life, or His substitutionary death, or His resurrection from the dead, or to refuse to believe anything that the Scripture declares about Jesus is to consign your own soul to an eternal hell. The good news of the gospel is a message of forgiveness of sin, but again, the one sin that God will not forgive is unbelief. Acts 16:31 says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved."
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Join Robbie Mott from Trek Bicycle Store Pensacola today at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Robbie will be sharing his years of expertise on cycling, how to select your perfect bike, best maintenance practices, on and off-road safety, plus the accessories you may need to provide you with the best overall biking experience. Trek Bicycle Store Pensacola on Pep Talk.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Each Sunday at 7:30 a.m., the Bible Baptist Bookstore of Pensacola, Florida brings you Theological Seminar with teacher Peter S. Ruckman, founder and president of the Pensacola Bible Institute. He will teach you what the Bible says about the subject, not merely what it is presumed to teach.
Tune in this Sunday at 7:30 a.m. for Theological Seminar with Dr. Peter S. Ruckman, brought to you by Bible Baptist Bookstore on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hi, I'm Ron Helms, and I'm running to be your next county commissioner in District 4. I'm a long-term business owner, military veteran, and ordained clergy. As a fiscal conservative and Second Amendment supporter, I have a passion for public service with strong community engagement. As your next county commissioner, I will have a strong impact on crime and gun violence, affordable housing, and combating high insurance rates. I'm asking for your support and your vote on November 5th.
Paid for by Ron Helms, Democrat, County Commission, District 4.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Newfancap and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Ocean Man, take me by the hand, lead me to the land that you understand. Ocean Man, the voyage to the corner of the globe is a real trip.
Good morning, 727 News Radio 92.3. We've got Dave Greenwood on the line, the Pensacola Beach Water Safety Chief for Escambia County. We'll get to him in just a second. Before that, John Pickens has traffic for us. John?
That's right. Brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Call them today for all your commercial and premium landscaping needs. No accidents to let you know about I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5s.
Thanks so much, John. Dave Greenwood is the Pensacola Beach Water Safety Chief for Escambia County, and he joins us every week to give us an update on beach conditions and surf conditions. Dave, welcome back, sir. What are we looking at for this weekend?
Well, looks like we'll have a chance of rain, and it's a light drizzle right now on the beach, unfortunately.
I see it out my window. Not the most pretty Friday I've ever seen in my life. How has surf been this week? Have you guys had to do very many rescues or prevents this week?
No, I'm telling you, it's been gorgeous all week long, which is kind of good for the folks because we've got people from Tennessee and Kentucky that are down on fall break, and You know, quite a number of them come down and take the, you know, just drive down and visit Pensacola Beach.
Yeah, I know a lot of locals think it's, it's not the time to go to the beach, but the people from out of state are like, Hell yeah, it's the time to go to the beach. It's still 80 degrees out. Why not? Or 75 at least, anyway.
We haven't had that cool fall weather. We're waiting for that cool fall weather to arrive. And as they typically say around here, when the fair comes.
That's exactly right. At fair time, that's when it gets a little frigid. Dave Greenwood is Pensacola Beach Water Safety Chief for Escambia County. Dave, as always, thank you for the time, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Great, Andrew. Have a great weekend, and I'll talk to you next Friday.
Absolutely. 729, Dave. It's not fair to have David Wayne and Dave Greenwood on back-to-back like this, but here goes. It messes up my brain. David Wayne is cool. Sorry about that. David Wayne's in the newsroom.
What you get with
David.
Too much Dave in the room.
No, understandable then.
Former Wyoming Congresswoman Liz Cheney has now endorsed Vice President Kamala Harris. She joined Harris at a rally in Wisconsin. The Israeli military has been striking Hezbollah targets in Beirut overnight. Israeli officials say the airstrikes are targeting a militant leader they believe will take over for Hassan Nasrallah. And pepper breeders at Oregon State University have been hard at work developing two new mild habanero peppers. They're calling these two new peppers Nada Hada and Mild Thing. Apparently, they've been working on them for 25 years now. The seeds are expected to be available next year.
Why?
That was my question, too.
I don't get it.
There's no good answer for
this. Also, I mean, honestly, the flavor of habanero is its weaker... Like, the flavor of the habanero is not that great. It's the hot that you like. So I don't understand that at all. I mean, I guess that...
These may not be big sellers.
This is the near beer you weren't asking for, is what this seems like to me.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Dock workers on the job this morning.
Dock workers are going back to work. And the next 90 days, we're going to settle everything.
Fox's Mark Meredith at the White House.
The strike, which lasted 3 days, was being closely watched by many because many feared it was creating huge economic headaches for both businesses and consumers. The deal reached last night will mean wage increases of more than 60% over the next 6 years.
Vice President Harris receiving more support next week.
We are learning that former President Obama will also get back on the campaign trail to campaign for Harris. His first stop is next Thursday in Pittsburgh.
Former President Trump stops in Georgia today and then holds a town hall in North Carolina tonight, returns to Butler, Pennsylvania tomorrow for the first time since the assassination attempt on July 13th. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got cloudy skies, a little bit of rain right now, 74 degrees in Pensacola. There's an update on that shooting from Wednesday near Fairfield Drive in Escambia County. The victim of that shooting has now died. Family members have identified the man as Walter Lee McQueen Dukes. The shooting happened on the 3400 block of John Street off Old Fairfield. The sheriff's office says, as of now, there's still no suspects in custody. An investigation is ongoing in that case. A Gulf Breeze doctor that's been under a lengthy investigation now facing two first-degree murder charges. 72-year-old Dr. Elaine Sharp arrested on a Santa Rosa County warrant yesterday. No details have been released on the charges. Sharp's office had been previously raided by authorities after she was found to be improperly prescribing controlled substances. She'd been prescribing opioids for opioid addiction and pain management treatment. An order says that Sharp issued more than 3,000 prescriptions between August of 2021 and August of 2022. She's currently being held in the Escambia County Jail, awaiting an extradition to Santa Rosa County. Florida dock workers have reason to celebrate. The International Longshoremen's Association and U.S. Maritime Alliance have now tentatively agreed to a new contract. Members of the ILA at Florida ports were on strike, and across the eastern Gulf Coasts were on strike to secure higher pay. Workers returning to duty today. Some Florida Democrats want the state to change its sex ed curriculum. Seven Democrats in Congress sending a letter yesterday to Governor DeSantis and Education Commissioner Manny Diaz. Those who signed the letter were taking issue with the state's abstinence-only requirements, which they called harmful in that letter. Manny Diaz Jr. wrote on X that while Florida is recovering from Hurricane Helene, congressional Democrats are focused on pushing sexual ideology on children. Manatee County is home to one of the hardest hit the city's hardest hit by Hurricane Helene. Bradenton Beach officials estimate that 90% of their city was destroyed in the storm. One resident said, "It's hard to imagine that incredible paradise is gone." Manatee County Natural Resource Director Charlie Hunsaker says it's a catastrophe for many people. Forecasters say large swells caused by Hurricane Kirk out in the Atlantic could reach the East Coast by this weekend.
Kirk is a Category 4 hurricane that's spinning far out in the Atlantic Ocean and tracking far from the U.S. coast. But Kirk's swells could impact the mid-Atlantic and northeast coastal areas. The National Hurricane Center says these swells could cause life-threatening surf and rip current conditions. I'm Mark Mayfield.
The Gulf Coast VA now offering telehealth emergency room services for veterans. Vets that use VA healthcare and can now call their local VA clinic and press 3 on the menu. That'll connect them to a virtual emergency room. The VA says this will offer some of the same services you could receive in a traditional emergency room setting, but without the long wait times or possible exposure to other illnesses. The VA says that they'll be able to help vets that have cold, flu, or COVID symptoms, sore throats, COPD or asthma issues, infections, minor allergic reactions. But for more serious issues, you will still need to go to a normal emergency room. 735 at News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Just one accident to let you know about on Bell Lane and Highway 90 right there in front of Pea Ridge Elementary. It's off to the side of the road, but we are seeing some delays. And also, if you're traveling I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29 through that construction zone, I'm seeing some delays there, about a 10-15 minute delay due to just congestion. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We will see plenty of rain today with a 60% chance of showers. Constant light rainfall through most of the day with a high near 80 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 70 degrees. For Saturday, rain chances drop, but we will still have the clouds around. 20% chance of rain with breezy conditions out of the east. High on Saturday near 84 degrees. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 69. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. 74 degrees across the area, seeing some scattered showers as well. Our next news at 8 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Investors are bracing for Friday's release of the September payrolls report later this morning. Economists polled by Dow Jones expect that non-farm payrolls will show growth of 150,000. This is up from 142,000 in August. The unemployment rate is expected to hold steady at 4.2%. The report drops in 10 minutes. The IRS free tax filing program, Direct File, will have 24 participating states for the 2025 filing season. This will make more than 30 million Americans eligible, and Direct File has expanded it to include more types of income, credits, and deductions. Moody Analytics said Hurricane Helene could cost upwards of $34 billion, leaving Congress and private insurers with a hefty bill. FEMA is currently addressing the Helene wreckage with a renewed budget, but Congress is on recess until November. Futures are slightly higher ahead of the inflation data that is dropping in minutes. That's Your Money Now.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
Hi, I'm Mansfield Coe from Pensacola Hardware. We are your best local and regional resource for industrial construction and hardware supplies. Daily, we meet the needs of Pensacola's construction companies, providing superb knowledge and code-compliant products. We specialize in concrete and masonry tools, fall protection products, and tools and supplies for the HVAC, mechanical plumbing, electrical, and glass trades. Give us the opportunity to show you why we are Pensacola's oldest and best hardware and construction supply company. Pensacola Hardware, 20 East Gregory Street, downtown.
The I-10 Wired TechNet CyberCo Summit returns October 16th to Pensacola Beach. Sponsored by Data Revolution, this is your opportunity to get connected with top-level cybersecurity, AI, and machine learning industry experts. Featuring a free career fair, Jurassic Park escape room, prizes, and a performance by the ultimate 80s party band, the Molly Ringwalds. Discounts available for students, military, and government employees. Visit ITENWired.com for tickets.
Hurricane Helene threatens the Gulf Coast.
Hurricane warning all along Apalachicola and the Big Bend area.
When you need to know.
I just saw something flash across the stream that there's a tropical storm warning for South Walton County.
When warnings go up, News Radio 92.3's full team coverage goes into overdrive.
Helene has a different story for everybody. Storm surge 20 feet around Cedar Key.
Hurricane season is not over yet. When you need to know. News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 740 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Okay, you're just going to have to forgive me for this one, but the head of health, wellness, PE, and driver education, specialist for PE, health, wellness, and driver education for the Escambia County Public Schools is Dr. Charmaine Sutherland, so I picked, she drives me crazy. Dr. Sutherland, welcome to the Pensacola Morning News.
Oh, thank you. Nice to be here.
Good to have you. So earlier in the week, in fact, on Sunday, I think it was Michelle Salzman, our state representative, had written an opinion piece in which she talked about her efforts and her desire to work on a law that would make driver's education more available, in fact, possibly mandatory for all high school students if they're trying to get a driver's license ahead of time. And, you know, we had a long conversation about this on Monday because I thought it was a very interesting proposal. I had inaccurately formed the picture that driver's ed was not happening or not happening very much in Escambia and Santa Rosa County. And I have since learned that, of course, it is happening. And so I apologize for misunderstanding that. But that's why I wanted to have you on, because I want to really understand where driver's ed is at right now in Escambia County. So I have some questions. And the first one is, a driver's ed is available to any high school student anywhere in the county, a little bit limited at Northview High. Is that right?
That's correct. We have it at all. We have six high schools, and they're all running each semester.
Okay.
Now, right now, we don't have Northview, but that's for now.
And it's, is it paid for by the school district? Do they have to pay for it?
Yeah, so our school district pays for our cars. So we have 3 to 4 cars at each school. Our transportation and maintenance support that. And we also have the Dory Schlossberg Fund, and that's available in Florida. And that is to help promote safe driving. And what we do in Escambia County is we take an itinerant, and we have 2 itinerants that service the 6 schools to support driving on our ranges. And the way we get this money from the Dory Schlossberg Fund, every traffic citation, $5 of that goes to the Dory Schlossberg Fund.
Oh, interesting.
So
I didn't know that.
To help our students.
Okay, so when you break the law driving, you're actually funding driver safety training in Florida. I'd never heard of that. It's fascinating to
me. Yes, thank you.
Yeah, no,
thank
that's you. That's kind of
but
a cool
really
program.
Don't do it, but hey, thank you if you do.
Yeah. And the courses that they take are, it's an elective, right? They're not required to take it, right?
Correct.
And it's,
yes,
in, it's during school time, like it's regular class period, it's not after school?
Right. I think we're very lucky in Escambia County. We do it during the school day, not only in class, but we also have the behind the wheel. I know several different districts in the county have different ways that they provide, but that's what we do during the school day, behind the wheel, and the class portion. And then we do have summer school, and that's a very concentrated 14 days that we invite students who couldn't make it during the year to take the course then.
So the students who are going through this training, and I appreciate that there's the classroom portion and then also the behind the wheel. And, my wife laughed at me when I went home and I said, did you know they don't do driver's ed anymore? And she's like, what do you mean they don't do driver's ed? You drive right past West Florida High School every day. You see the driver's ed out on the course. And I'm like, yeah. but I do want to.
You know what? It was a trend. So not all schools, like when I was in high school, we all had to do it. But there was a trend, and it goes back and forth, ebbs and flows. But in Escambia, we are rolling. We are getting as many students as we can to be safer drivers and make better decisions on the road.
I do have a question about what exactly the training encompasses, because I want to make sure that I have a really clear picture and know how a mandate might affect driver training and whether they're getting the kind of training I would expect. When I was in school, we had in the classroom, and then we had what in the late 80s was passed as a simulator, which was very terrible. But then we would get in the car and we'd drive around the parking lot kind of stuff. But then we did a lot of go out on the road, and you had the two brake car, and you had four kids and a teacher stuck in a car, and we would go drive around town. Now, of course, that wasn't the first thing we did, but eventually, and that's where we got most of our hours of practice before we would take our driver's test. I know Escambia County does classroom. I know you have driver on the course training. Do they also go out on the road and drive with a teacher?
We have driver ed ranges that are approved by DLAB, which is the people that approve us, and it's the Driver Education Licensing Assistance Program, and they certify our ranges. Now, we could go out on the road, but we also have everything that we need on our ranges.
But like on the range, you don't encounter other drivers and traffic and pedestrians and stuff like that. So what I hear you saying, I just want to make sure I understand, is they don't, the kids in driver's ed in Escambia don't actually go on the road during driver's ed, not normally. Is that right?
Not normally. Nope.
Okay.
No, not normally.
And see, to me, that was a big part of the learning process, is supervised driving on the road. And that's why I wanted to know, what would great driver's ed really look like? The other thing, and I have a bunch of other questions. We're talking to Dr. Charmaine Sutherland. She is the Escambia County Public School Specialist for PE, Health, Wellness, and Driver Education. By the way, thank you so much for joining me today. Hang on for just a second. I need to get traffic on the fives from John.
Okay.
If you're on Davis Highway headed southbound to Olive Road, you're going to see some major delays there. Also, I-10 eastbound from Pine Forest to Highway 29 through that construction zone is seeing about a 10-15 minute delay. Other than that, traffic looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Dr. Charmaine Sutherland, the PE, Health, Wellness, and Driver's Education Specialist for Escambia County Public Schools. I just got a text in, and the text matches what I have also heard, and I want to find out from you what the status is. The text says, this all sounds good, but both of my sons were never able to get into a driver's ed class because they were either full or it was at the same time as a required class. It would have been helpful if it had been available after school. And my question to you is, I've looked at some of the data of how many kids actually get driver's ed, because it's not a requirement, obviously, for all kids to take it. And in Escambia County, my rough estimate is we generally have about 3,000 kids in each grade level. So if we take the 15 or 16-year-old, there's about 3,000 every year at that age. Out of that 3,000, or comparing that as your baseline, Escambia had 84 class-only students last year and 443 class and driving on the range kids last year, which is around 15% or so. In Santa Rosa, it's 234 class only. They don't even have ranges. In Okaloosa, it was 34 class only and 434 class in labs, so similar to Escambia County. So it sounds like only about 15% of our kids every year are getting driver's ed. Is that because we're short teachers? Are we short cars? Do they not opt for it? What's the constraint keeping more kids from getting driver's ed in practice?
Well, it's an elective. So in Escambia County, if they want it, we have plenty of teachers.
Oh, okay.
So we have a driver ed teacher at every high school that has driver education, minus Northview. So their courses, for example, Washington has six classes, and they're pretty full. But if a student couldn't get in during the year, then they could take the summer school.
Right.
We offer two sessions of summer school this year. And, as far as I know, if they see that this course, a counselor, they see that this is really popular, they can add an additional class. So we've got the teachers. Now, other counties may not have the teachers.
Okay.
But we do. And then we try to also recruit teachers to be prepared in case that teacher moves on, that we have someone in the wings. Also, because we have those itinerant teachers that go around to the schools, we have extra support. So we're fully ready to teach anyone who wants to learn more about being a safer driver and make better decisions on the road.
Just to make sure that my numbers aren't wrong, but that's about right, though, that only about 400 or 450, that's the vicinity across the district every year. Does that sound right to you?
We have about 1,200 each year that take our course.
Okay.
Now, when they come in, we offer for them to take the driving permit, which is the Class E knowledge test, and they could take it for free with us.
Oh, okay.
Instead of going to the DMV or the tax collector's office. They get three chances. If they're unable to get the permit, they're still in our classes. They still learn, but we can't put them behind the wheel until they get that permit.
Okay, that makes perfect sense.
We get about 1,200 that are in our classes.
Okay. So somehow there's a discrepancy between the numbers I thought I had and the numbers you're telling me. But either way, that's still probably only roughly a third, maybe 40%. And as you say, it's not mandatory. It's an optional. You know, it's an elective. They may not take it. The sort of last question on this subject is, for me anyway, is if it does become mandatory, I know Escambia County has the ability to scale up because you do have itinerant teachers and you have teachers who are kind of on standby. I'm assuming that if it became mandatory and you had to double or triple your level of service, that would take some additional resources and additional cars and bodies. Am I right about that?
It would take, right. It would be more teachers. We're lucky, though, that we have something in place to help our teachers become driver education endorsed.
Mm-hmm.
But we have all the cars we need because we don't want to ever push the range to capacity. So we are set.
There
is a mandatory driver ed. We are good. Other counties, they'd have to build it up. But for us, we're very, very lucky, you know, that our school system believes in it and that we have this in place.
Okay. Well, very good. It sounds like maybe range space could become a constraint if all of this kind of comes into play. And that's very interesting to me. And I think one thing I learned from this and that I hadn't known, I was curious about is there a reason why they don't do the on-street driving at speed with a teacher in the car? The reason I ask is because that seems like the best training that we ever got. You know, we prepared for that because it's hours in the car behind the wheel looking at real people and trees and stoplights and cops. And, you know, like that's where you really learn the most. Is there any particular reason we don't do that?
Well, we do a lot of practice with skills on the range.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an extra piece before you get the license that you have to go with your parent on the road. So that piece, you know, hopefully that parent is getting practice for that, for their son or daughter to be ready to go on the actual road. So that's in combination with our 63 hours.
Okay.
So I agree with you. It is advantageous. I took my behind the wheel, you know, on the DC Beltway.
Mm, so wow.
That
and you lived to tell the tale.
That was like, I know.
Well,
I know what you're saying.
Well, Dr. Charmaine Sutherland, last thing I just want to let you, is there anything else I didn't ask or anything you want to let parents or students know that I didn't ask you? Because I may have, you know, I asked all the questions I thought were important, but I want to make sure that I didn't miss something that you want to tell them.
You know, I just think it is such an opportunity for every person in our high schools to just come to this course. It's 4 months of having a professional help young drivers to make better decisions on the road. And if we would do that, our roads would be better. We would have less accidents.
Amen.
Be safer. And you know what? We'd all be happier. We'd be have more defensive drivers. So I encourage everyone, take advantage of it. It's free. And you know, if you can't fit it in the school year, come to our summer programs. But also our summer programs, we do open it up to anyone who is a resident of Escambia, age 15 to 18, even if they're not in our school system.
Right. Okay.
So if you went to a private school and you wanted to take it in the summer, you can.
Very good.
And we do have a website that gives more information. But I appreciate the time to talk about this great program. And I do hope people take advantage of it. And, you know, Michelle Salzman was saying, it's important. And we do hope that, you know, other schools can offer it like we do.
Absolutely.
So, and
that's
very
why
lucky that we have it.
And everything I've heard you say fits with her goal of the value of having this for students so that they become safer drivers, which protects
Absolutely.
Us from them and protects them from us and from themselves. And, I mean, this is all to the good. So Dr. Charmaine Sutherland, she is the specialist for Escambia County Public Schools over PE, health, wellness, and driver education. Thank you for keeping our kids healthy, keeping them safe, and for talking with us this morning. I really appreciate the time, Dr. Sutherland.
Thank you. My pleasure. Thank you.
You bet. 7:55 here on News Radio 92.3. Speaking of the aforementioned traffic, on the fives with John Pickens.
That's right. If you're traveling I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29 through that construction zone, you're going to see some major delays. Also, still seeing delays if you're traveling southbound on Davis toward Olive. We're seeing some major delays there, so about a 10-15 minute delay, so just be aware of that. Other than that, traffic looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Speaking of cars and driving, if you need a new car or you have a new driver in the family and you need to get them something small that they can't hurt too many people with or themselves, because don't give them a sports car when they're 16, okay? Frontier Motors has a wide range of vehicles, everything from the big old truck and the SUV and the minivan. I know because we bought a Honda Odyssey there a few years ago, down to just your little runarounds or anything in between. They've got them, about 300 different cars and trucks on the lot. You can sample as many as you like. You can drive several of them, and if they have exactly what you want, it's going to be good prices for cars that are a year, two, three, maybe 4 years old with 10 to 50 or 60,000 miles on them, depending on what you're looking for. Good prices that they stand behind, warranty to them to 100,000 miles, because that's what they want, is cars that you can trust, cars that you can count on. Dave Ramsey kind of cars. That's the idea. That's why he recommends them. I recommend them. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
News Radio 92.3 congratulates the recent winners and finalists in the 2024 Pensacola News Journal Community Choice Awards.
Here is one of the recent winners who can say they are the best of the Bay.
Scenic Hills Country Club thanks you, Pensacola, for naming us Best of the Bay 2024. We are honored and enjoy providing you with a first-class experience on the course and in the dining room. Visit scenichills.com to plan your visit. We look forward to seeing you soon.
Congratulations to all the Best of the Bay winners.
DeFranco Gas is your local expert in all things gas. Local Tom DeFranco and Company has been installing and servicing your gas-powered business and home needs for over 38 years and is here to help make your gas life easier. Tankless water heaters, gas grills, gas fireplaces, gas heating systems, and DeFranco Gas gets your home and business storm ready with installation and servicing of whole generator systems. All things gas. DeFranco Gas, your local gas service provider. Member of the Better Business Bureau. DeFrancoGas.com.
Join Keith and Pam, your insurance experts with Ferris Health Partners, Monday at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Learn how to save money on your health care costs. Find the right insurance products that best fits the needs for you and your family as you head towards retirement or are looking for options now. They will be taking your calls and questions Monday at 9 with Ferris Health Partners on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
When you listen to News Radio 92.3 on Sundays, you get Christian Outlook at 7, Ask the Preacher at 8, Town Hall Review, Fox News Sundays, The Weekend, Tech It Out, and Gun Talk at 8.
1.21 gigawatts!
Watch me!
Good morning, 7:58 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines, and he is super bad. David?
Well, it's back to work today for dock workers along the Gulf and East Coasts after a strike that started earlier this week has come to an end, at least a temporary end until January. Members of the International Longshoremen's Association and management groups reaching a tentative deal on wages yesterday. A historic heat wave in California and the Southwest expected to last through the weekend. Over 50 heat records apparently have been broken in the western U.S. this week. In Phoenix, Arizona, they say they set 10 straight days of daily heat records with temperatures as high as 117.
Oh, man, it's brutal. Brutal bad, even in October right now. Yeah, no, that's true. And by the way, Santa Rosa, my understanding, I asked the PIO from Santa Rosa, and it's not mandatory. It is optional for driver's ed. But there's no cars. There's no lab driving at all. And I just... It's not driver's ed without driving and without driving on the road, too.